Good to be here. This is my first time actually being here. Well, I've been here to use these facilities, but and it's my first time being here to share the word of God. It's good to be here. Thank you, Jim, for the opportunity. I was talking to Dennis Tanner last night, and he passed his love and greetings to the church. He said he loves you all, and he'll be here very soon. He'll be here for the November annual anniversary this year. So, good to be here. Yes, as Jim said, I do come from Indian Asian culture, but I consider myself a coconut. I am brown outside, but white inside. I like to keep the timing. Yes, I've got 20 minutes, so I'll try and share the word of God as quickly as possible. As Jim said, I've been appointed as the National Youth Director for Church of God in Scotland, and we had a wonderful 2 days of our youth camp in Pitlochry. It was great. We saw youths giving their lives to Christ and recommitting their lives. It was a wonderful experience. One thing that I'm, my responsibility in Church of God is that I go around to churches encouraging their pastors and youth leaders to invest their time and energy in the local youth. I help them establish youth ministries in their church, and because I know there are a lot of churches that don't have youth in their church, and there are churches who have youth, they don't have a youth ministry or any such. So my responsibility and role is to go there, raise awareness of how important it is to have the youth ministry in your church, and also how important to reach out to the youth of this generation. One thing I tell the parents and the pastors is, if you don't invest your time and energy in your own youth, the devil will, and he's already doing it. It's either you or it's either him. So I tell the parents quite bluntly, tell them it's you, either invest your time now or you're going to regret it later. We're seeing a great a revival sweeping around the generation, and I pray and I believe that God will raise up a great youth missionaries and youth leaders in the days to come. Amen. I'm going to share a short a very simple message. I don't know how many of you are here who have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I see your hands, please? So I know who I'm talking to. It's very relevant to the people who know God as their Savior and to those people who are still getting to know the Lord. Well, we are living in a generation where we look for answers in Google. You know, the word Google itself has become a verb now. You know, when we speak, we say, let's Google this, let's Google that, you know, do that. And I mean, literally, I mean, if you don't know how to toast, you Google. If you don't know how to toast Google, toast the bread. Or if you don't know how to, you know, fix something, you Google and find out. Google has become our teacher. Google has become our doctor. You know, when we are sick, the first thing we do is Google and find out what's the problem before we even go and see the GP. And Google has become our advisor in some way or form. So we are living in a generation. You speak to the youngsters, and first thing they do, they don't know anything about it, or if they want to know some information regarding anything, they will Google. Let me tell you one thing: is Google, yes, it has its benefits, and it does give you the answer to most of the questions, but it has its limitations. The Google cannot solve all your problems and cannot answer all your questions. So today I want to look at a person who is the answer of all, who can solve our problems. There is nothing is impossible to him. One other thing, with my daughter, I'm here with my wife, my lovely wife, and also with my beautiful daughter, who's going to be 1 year old in 2 weeks' time. And she's very active, and it's not going to be very soon enough before she starts asking questions. A brother who shared a testimony a few minutes ago, who's looking after his grandchildren, will know the amount of questions they ask and how they come up with all these questions. And it's interesting how they come up with these questions. And you know, it's not always easy to answer those questions. And sometimes you're yourself puzzled. So I'm sure many of us are here tonight and this evening have a lot of questions in our hearts, have a lot of doubts in our hearts, and we want answers. You know, we want answers, and I'm sure some of you have already looked around for answers, and some of you might have found answers, might be not the right answers, and some of you are still searching for answers. Today, I want to look at the verse in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. And we heard, if you have time, please do turn to the Bible, but I will read it out anyway. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Well, the main problem, or the mankind's greatest and most basic sin has always been that of seeking to replace God with man. It's always been, from the beginning till now, a man's basic sin and basic problem being always to replace God with man. Today I want to talk on the title of Let God Be God. This used to be my WhatsApp status. And all of a sudden, while I was preparing for this for the sermon, and that status spoke to me. Let God be God. And then I started preparing this sermon. I have a sermon which I can preach about for 2 hours, but I won't do that. I'll get to the point, and we'll finish it very shortly. So, we always have been a problem. So Adam and Eve had a problem. They were ready to replace themselves in the place of God. Abraham and Sarah had the same issues, and they were ready to replace themselves before God. So that Israel had a continuous problem with replacing God with man. I mean, when God said, "I'll be your Lord and I'll be your King," the Israel said, no, it's good to have you, Lord, and it's wonderful to have you as our Lord, but we would like to have King like those Amorites and, you know, like our neighbors. So give us a king. And they didn't have a king. And God said, okay, fine, you want a king? I'll give you a king. And God gave them Saul. And what happened? You all know what happened. He wasn't a perfect king, and he made mistakes, and he led Israelites into sinful life. So what we are getting at here tonight is, do not replace God with man. And put your trust in God, not in man. Why should you trust in God? Well, today I want to give you a few points, and I want to advocate towards God against men. There are a few reasons why it's better to trust in the Lord than to man. Is one of them is God cannot change, but men are subject to change. God is staying yesterday, today, and forever. And how many times that we speak to somebody and we tell them something, and they promise you something, and tomorrow, the day after, you speak to them and you ask them about something, and they've already forgotten. And they say, did I say that? Did I really? Yes, we're living in that generation. We're living in that time. Second reason is men can lie, but God cannot lie. Including Christians. There's no holy lie or a sinful lie. A lie is a lie. And even Christians promise a lot of things. Christian says, okay, we'll do that, brother, we'll do this, sister, and I'll promise you this and I'll promise you that. And how many times we have been let down by them? And that's why it's better to trust in the Lord than to put our trust in man. Third one is men can fail, but God cannot fail. You know, we are, doesn't matter whether we can go to the moon or try and find another planet to live on. Trust me, we are still weak. We cannot go to the moon or to another planet without a suit on. We are made to live here, and this is our environment, and God created this world for us, and this is where we belong. And it doesn't matter how hard we try, and you know how much money we spend on, we cannot leave out of this place. And men are still the weakest, and we cannot fight against God and win over God. And regardless of our opinions, God is still God. Romans 4:21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also to perform. Number four, God is faithful. We're not faithful. I mean, we are living in a time where we see a lot of broken marriages just because of the faithfulness. You know, we see men who are not faithful. We see women who are not faithful. We see children who are not faithful. We see parents who are not faithful to their children. And that's why we cannot trust men, and we need God. What is trust? You know, there's a good question to put forward. Is, you know, when we get on a bus, we have a bit of a trust on the bus driver that we know that he will safely will take to the destination that we plan to go. Have you ever thought that, you know, when you get on a bus or on an airplane, that, oh, this might go and crash, or this driver might go and, you know, he might not reach the destination. Have you ever thought about it? No, we always just go and we show our bus pass and we just trust the driver to take us to the destination. That is a certain level of trust. But sometimes we don't even have that much of trust toward God. We are ready to trust the bus driver. We are ready to trust the pilot. We are ready to trust our government and the system of this world. But we are very slow to put our trust in God. Let's replace God where he belongs. And let's not replace men with God. Number five is, God is a finisher. God is not a God who just parts out something and leaves in the halfway. We know, well, you can ask my wife, she's going out. I start a job, most probably the DIY jobs, and I leave it till another 2 weeks before it gets done. You know, we men still are not perfect in that way, and we still leave things halfway done. But where I know Jim, he's a finisher. He's a finisher for sure. I mean, we know the building in Castlemont, it's beautiful now. About a few months ago, no one was able to get in that place. And I thank God for men like Jim. You know, God is able to use and transform these places into beautiful buildings. Yes, God is a finisher. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says like this, "Hath thou not known, hath thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. The God whose task to always finish." So just think about it tonight. You know, it doesn't matter what you are going through or the dreams that you have started or the ministry that you have started. Have confidence that God who has started is faithful, and he will finish the race that you have started and the dreams that he has given to you. God is an omniscient. Man is limited in his knowledge. Hebrews 4:13, "Neither there is any creature that is not manifest his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." God is a God who knows everything. Man is still limited with his knowledge. We are still Googling stuff to find out. And our knowledge is still very limited in every way possible. You know, the doctors are still trying to find out how the babies are born. You know, how a woman gets pregnant and how these bones get formed in their mother, in a mother's womb. And we are still finding out the basic principles of life. And with a tiny amount of brain, how many grams of brain we have? Any guess? 5 grams, something? I think it's 4.5 grams. With that, we are trying to understand God and trying to judge God. Trust me, God is bigger than our understanding. God is bigger than our old tiny small brain. Amen. And he's bigger than Google too. Okay. Number seven, God cannot forget his promise. But men can easily forget their promise. You can ask my wife about that. I'm sure most of the men would agree. We tend to forget a lot of promises that we make to our wife. And God is not like that. Yeah, be sure that God is not like that. If he has given you a promise, if he has given you a vision, he is sure to keep it there. And he will definitely will complete it, and he will give you the grace and the resources, the anointing to fulfill those promises. The Isaiah chapter 49 states this, "Can a woman forget her suffering child, that she thought not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yet they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my heart. Thy words are continually before me." Hallelujah. That's what we want to have our trust in God. Do we believe God exists? Do we ever have an encounter with God? You know, that's the simple problem that we have is, why do we replace men with God? It's because of the relationship that we don't have with God. You know, you will trust a person if you know that person very well. You will put your hope in that person if you know for sure, or if you have a very good relationship with that person. If you go and buy a car or for a finance, what do they do? Is they make sure that you're credible. They check your credit history and say whether you are worthy to be, you know, given the loan or the car. In the same way, we have to develop a trust relationship with God in order to have our faith growing in God. Let me read another verse from Psalm 118:8. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in prince. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the reason that I want to share with you today. It's let's not replace God with men. Let God be God. Trust God and let God be God. I'm going to finish in a few minutes, and I want you to close your eyes for a few minutes, and I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I want you to think and ponder on those questions. It is a very simple message. It's not a very theologically a complicated message or anything. It's about the trust that we have in Christ. It's simple and very easy to quickly run to the phone when we have issues than to run to the throne of God. Now, how many times, you know, we have faced problems in our life, and first thing that we do is run to our friends or run to our families or run to our pastors. Nothing wrong with them. But how about we put our priorities back again to God? How about we put our priorities right? You know, how about we give God the first place? How about we give God the priority and tell God, look, you're the first person I'd like to come, you know, when I'm in trouble. I know you answered our prayers. I know you are able. I know you are omniscient. I know you are God Almighty. There is nothing is impossible to you. And how many times we have done that? You know, doesn't matter how many years you have been Christian. It could be 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. But we could still make this small mistake of putting men before God. Let's think about it for a few seconds. I could go on for another hour, but I'm trying to close it there with this simple thought. Do we have a full confidence in God? Do we have a full trust in God? Or are we like Israelites, asking God for men to help us, or asking God to give other sources rather than God being our source? Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If any one of you here that you are here saying, yes, that's right, I know God and I believe in him, I know his abilities, but I still made this mistake of putting men before God. It could be a simple thing, or it could be in your ministry. It could be or something that's been troubling you for a long time, and you have kind of fed up with God, and you kind of had enough with God, and you say, God, you know, I'm going to go and seek men for help. You know, I have waited long enough. If you are here, I want you to repent of it. And I want you to ask the Lord, just say to God, God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I trusted men. I'm sorry that I trusted my friends around me before I trust you. I'm sorry that I heard the word of men around me than before I went to the Word of God. And just ask the Lord to replace that trust back again. Just ask the Lord and tell him, God, I want to start my life over again, and I tell God, just God, I want a fresh start, and I want to put my full confidence in you. Regardless of what circumstances I have, whether it's a good times or a bad times, whether you're struggling in life or whether everything is okay in your life. Say to God, I want to put my trust in God. You know, David said, I will worship my Lord at all times. At all times, in good times and in bad times. That's the trust that God wants from us. Not a trust that we put when everything is okay, you know, when we have everything. That's not trust. trust is more valuable when you have it when things are not the way you expect them to be. And if you are here like that, I want you to raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Just find it with your eyes closed. Just raise your hands and say, yes, I want to put my trust back again in God. And I want to get my priorities right back again. Can I ask Jim to come over and put his hand? Hallelujah.